Jerry Bader Show, 1047. Jason mentioned something to me off the air, and I agree completely. That Clay Matthews should not return to the playing field until he's absolutely, positively ready. They're not talking Monday night, are they? I mean, a couple of weeks is what I heard. He doesn't even get the pins out until Monday off that broken thumb. And then they'll take a look at it. I agree with you. The defense is playing so very well right now. They don't face a lot of juggernauts in the next couple of weeks. The Bears aren't going to have Cutler. I am inclined to agree with that. Several in the media have pointed out that the Packers' defense, while playing extremely well, isn't getting a lot of turnovers. They're getting off the field, as Jason said, not in great shape, but in pretty good shape. They're getting off the field in pretty good shape. As long as they play at the level they're playing, I'm not too concerned. I'm mildly concerned about the lack of turnovers. But sometimes those turnovers are a product of the defense being on the field a long time. It's the offense getting more shots at you and more shots at you and more shots at you, and they're kind of slop. I would argue that was the case in 2011 against the Packers. Sometimes it's not, that statistic isn't as important as it seemed, but it's important. I'm not saying it isn't important. But they're managing to stop teams without getting the turnovers. As you know, my argument for Obamacare was let it crash, let people see how bad it is. Those of you who disagree with me, and I never said this wasn't a valid point, by the way, said the problem is people get used to how lousy liberal policies are, and they just don't, it's not going to make any difference. I have agreed all along that's a legitimate threat. I agree. That the boiling frog syndrome will kick in, and they will just simply live with it. That is a danger. My argument, my counter-argument to that was it's going to be so bad that won't happen this time. It's even worse than I thought. So at the moment, I'm sticking by my strategy. But I concede in the long run I could be wrong on this. I do. Here's, in fact, and I'm going to be honest, here's proof where I could be wrong. There have been numerous examples where conservative policies had a track record of working when they fixed problems, because the problems were fixed, voters go, oh, well, what are we doing that for? Here's an example in Wisconsin. We stopped building prisons. We want to stop putting people in prison in the larger numbers that we did in the 90s. Why? Because crime's going down. What do we need to build so many prisons and put so many people in prisons? Why are we doing that when we don't have people committing crimes such a large volume anymore? Not seeing the cause and effect. That the cause were conservative policies. We charged people at 17 as adults. We had other tough-on-crime policies, including putting people in prison longer, and it worked. It worked. Now they want to undo it. Now they want to change it. Now they want to say, well, no, we don't need all those prisons. There is a textbook example of this that's probably going to happen next week. It is very likely that a very liberal Democrat will be elected mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio. He is leading Republican Joe Lotta by more than 40 points. New Yorkers are going to turn away policies that have made their city better, stronger, and safer over the last 30-some years, 25 years for sure. Well, whenever Giuliani got in, that was in the late 80s, early 90s. They're going to turn away from that. Why? This is the sad part of this, and you have seen this happen. Because the conservative policies worked, and the liberalism in them are like, well, we don't need that anymore. We don't need stop and frisk anymore. We don't need these things. So you get rid of the thing that got you to where you are. Why? Because your mushy head and your mushy heart tell you, well, it's really bad, though, that we have to do these things. We don't really have to do them anymore. The Wall Street Journal gives several examples. Daily security. The city's murder rate is at its lowest since the 1960s. This plunge is the direct result of police reforms begun under Mr. Giuliani, including current police commissioner Ray Kelly's stop and frisk program to reduce violent street crime. By the way, Ray Kelly was booed off the stage Tuesday at Brown University. He wasn't allowed to give his speech because they think stop and frisk and other community policing policies are so terrible. The very thing that has made New York a town that I think is safer than Chicago right now. It is. There's no question about that. Mr. de Blasio repudiates these police practices and says he won't appeal the August ruling by federal judge Shira Scheinlin that called them unconstitutional. This threatens public safety. New York is safer than it's been almost in my lifetime, since I was 2 years old. And this is going to be undone. Philanthropy. New York is the philanthropy capital of the world, supporting everything from the arts to food distribution networks. Bill de Blasio wants even charitable money to start flowing through him. He's proposing that private parks conservancies with operating budgets over $5 million give 20% of it for redistribution to other parks. The conservancies were established precisely because the city didn't maintain the parks. Many donors will stop giving. Schools. Under Mayor Bloomberg, the mayor's office took control of public schools from the union-dominated school board, and the cap on independent public charter schools expanded to 200, most in the poorest neighborhoods. Aligning himself with the teachers' union, Mr. de Blasio will reverse this growth. Union contracts. Nearly all of the city's major union contracts have expired and need to be renegotiated, a major Bloomberg failure. Mr. de Blasio says unions deserve at least partial retroactive pay increases, which would reward union recalcitrance, and has laid out no reforms in pensions or work rules. As pensions grow as a share of the city budget, this would lock in spending commitments for years and increase pressure for higher taxes. Jobs. Mr. de Blasio wants a mandated living wage of $11.75 an hour on all city or city-subsidized projects, including retail stores. And he wants to make New York the first city in the U.S. that mandates paid family leave of 12 weeks. The most left-wing city council in years will pass both. Job creation will decline. Housing. He promises to build or preserve 200,000 affordable housing units by various means, including mandates on developers, a policy the Denver mayor Michael Hancock recently called a failure there. Mr. de Blasio also proposes to tap the city's pension funds to invest in this housing, and he wants to strengthen rent controls. These policies would cause the city's housing stock to diminish and deteriorate. Let me tell you what's going on here. You know what's going on here? With all apologies to Charles Dickens, this is a tale of two cities. Do you know what Detroit is? Detroit is New York if New York stayed on the David Dinkins path. That's what Detroit is. Liberalism killed Detroit. Unless you're Melissa Harris Perry, Ed Schultz, or anyone else who works for MSNBC, you know that. You might not want to admit it, but at least you know that. Liberalism killed Detroit. New York was on that path in the 70s and early 80s. They almost went belly up, remember? It was very, very close. New York's not perfect, but in most ways, if it's on the right path, I think most importantly, public safety. The only reason public safety finally became a concern where people voted for more conservatives, you know, more conservative-leaning mayors, was the crime problems started reaching their artsy-fartsy neighborhoods. Well, we didn't know. We didn't know you meant us. Okay, if blacks are killing blacks as rich white liberals, we don't really care about that. It's not in our neighborhood, you know. That's okay. When it stopped being contained, when it was reaching where they thought it could never reach. Ooh, well, now we have to do something about this. And they did. And in terms of public safety, that is the one thing New York has gotten right more than any other major city in America. And it's the largest city in America. And it got it right. Liberal voters in New York are about to undo that and all the other things I just detailed. What are they going to do? They're going to go back on the Detroit path. That's what they're going to do. It got so bad where one New York tabloid paper in the late 70s said to Mayor Dinkins, "For God's sake, Dave, do something." That was the headline. He didn't. Someone ultimately did. New Yorkers are prepared to turn the clock back on that. Here's why this is beyond a New York story. And this is where I'll admit some of you are right. Once conservatism cures things, people will fall for liberalism again. It's true. You've seen it in the last 5 years. And you are seeing it in New York. They're on their way to becoming another Detroit. So, yes, that danger is there. 10:58, 8 minutes from Rush. Happy Halloween and have a lovely one, won't you?
The Jerry Bader Show.